And hello, everyone. This is your host, Kayla McCartney, and we're back with Caffeinated Connections. We make sure that you have your best cup of joe, although you can have your own preference. I'm here joined by the myth, the legend, Kyle Archer.
That's right!
He's honestly one of the craziest people that I've met, at least at Point Park, and he's a graduate, double graduate, I guess you could say?
Yeah, I'd say so.
So when it comes to what you do and what you've done at Point Park, let's start the conversation there, or introduce yourself, you know?
Yeah, I'd love to. You're gonna hear me burp, I just drank some soda. Great for audio. The crazy part, I like it, you know? I like it. Some would say too cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs. I say not enough. I think we need more Cocoa Puffs in the world. I do too many things, you know? I love that, though. That's me. You know, I got my undergrad in SAEM, which is the longest way, which is sports arts management. Let me start that over. Sports arts and entertainment management, which is just basically, in a nutshell, live event planning. And Kent went back, you know, I moved out to Los Angeles for a little bit, came back, got a grad assistantship, which means I got grad school for free, got my master's in media communications, and now I work for 3 different sports organizations, could be 4 here soon, and I run my own late night show on top of my day job with Point Park.
Late night show?
Yes, sir!
Wow, I mean, I've heard the rumors of that you were so good on Snooze and all of these other
legends. No,
absolute legend. And what you left was this interesting dynamic that I got to be a part of, a little bit of Snooze.
Yeah.
But here at Point Park, with all that you've done, I want to pay attention to this really interesting obsession you have with ducks.
I love ducks.
Like rubber ducks.
I love rubber ducks, yeah.
Tell everyone what you've done with rubber ducks.
The good parts, the bad parts, or all the parts? Because I've done a lot of things with rubber ducks.
Well, I know the first thing that when I met you, you showed me a video of rubber ducks taking over Pittsburgh.
Yeah, that was my first official news package at Point Park. I am not, I'm not into the whole real world news stuff. It's important, sure, yeah. But no, not me. That's not what I do. It's not who I am. It's not what I'm about. It's not what I've ever been about. So I covered a story about a bunch of rubber duckies taking over downtown Pittsburgh.
Do you still have those rubber duckies?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I have all of them.
How many did you use?
How many did I use that day? 50 to 70.
Rubber duckies.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Bought them off of Amazon. Had a crap ton. And then I use those rubber duckies as, I guess I don't have a lot of them. Not every single one, but I used those as prizes for a class that I was teaching. If they got first place, then I'd give them a rubber ducky.
Wow.
And I would hide them through the school. There's some rubber duckies are still hidden in spots throughout Point Park that I'll still walk by and I'll see a rubber ducky in a certain spot. And it's still there.
It still exists.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Have you ever, whenever you're doing these interesting bits, these fun things that is very you, do you ever get worried about how others will judge you?
No, not at all. In any way, shape, or form. No. I don't give a flock. I don't give a flock at all. Yeah. Whatever the flock that means.
Whatever the flock that means.
Yeah.
When it comes to, I think doing things or being a somebody,
yeah,
you have to be unique. You have to be somebody that is willing to be uncomfortable, or maybe others are going to be like, well, he's weird. But I think being weird is a good thing.
No, for sure. I mean, I've been called weird, odd, strange, awkward. Not awkward. I never really got awkward. Too much. I've gotten too much a lot. All through high school, into college. And, you know, it's just I don't really care. There's too many people in the world to make everybody, you know, think that you're awesome. And there's not enough time in the world to care about what those people think. You just got to do what you got to do and be happy with what you do. And that's what I do.
That's what you can do. That's the only thing that we all can. I mean,
yeah.
Not all of us are like that because, I mean, I think the fun of being weird is being unique and unique enough to be able to
yeah,
what the hell? Why not?
Correctamundo. That's Spanish for correct.
Correctamundo. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. But when
the Armenian, I thought.
I honestly wish I could, you know, looking up the etymology of that would be pretty good. But when it comes to all that you do, I honestly, the way I embrace chaos is the way I work, you know.
Yeah.
Always taking up, you know, I think that there is a balance in that, but like I perform far well when something is due in a few hours as to a week, because then I'm like trying to pick everything up and get it done.
Yeah.
I prefer being rushed. Yeah. And I've always, my whole life, I've been rushed.
No, I get that. Are you the type of worker that like just does everything all at once in one session? Yeah. Or is it like split? Well, that's why then.
I'm learning to get better at that, to be able to pick something up, put it down, pick it up, put it down, mm-hmm. and kind of go through that.
It's a battle of procrastination and time management. And that's really all it is.
Well, that and perfectionism.
Yeah, you know. Yeah, we all have that. But I've also learned to drop that, too. I don't believe in perfectionism. I believe in okayism.
Okayism?
Okayism. I don't think that there's anything out there that is perfect in the world.
I think that that's very good.
This Coca-Cola Zero Sugar.
Oh my gosh, Coca-Cola Zero Sugar.
Everybody hates the Zero Sugar, and I'm alone in this war.
Hey, I'm an anti-soda person now.
No, I heard this Coca-Cola is telling me some real bad things about you, Caleb.
Yeah, they don't like me because I completely, like, I ignore all the soda aisles.
Yeah.
I ignore, it's absurd how many things are marketed to us, especially soda and like, sugar content things.
Yeah.
It's strange.
I'm about it.
You like the sugar?
That's what I'm saying. I'm cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs. How much sugar is in Cocoa Puffs?
Probably less fiber than sugar.
I don't believe in fiber. That's not a real thing. It's a made-up word.
Fiber's not real.
Yeah.
But when
it's a construct.
Speaking of constructs, would you say that being in the media world and not living that normal 9-to-5 job is something new for generations that is going to be going forward where it's not that 9-to-5?
100%. I think, you know, you'll still get the typical 9-to-5ers. I mean, I got a 9-to-5, you know. But outside of that, you know, I'll have days where I have a 9-to-9. You know, I'll have a 9-to-11. But I think that's just kind of the transition of kind of the quality of life where the workforce is going, kind of like with this generation. You know, there's just a lot of openness and creativity and different ways to do the things that you want other than sitting behind a desk for a couple hours and going home and do whatever.
I could never.
it's nice some days. I'm not going to lie to you. It is. Other days, I'd be out and about and doing what I need to do. But that, I mean, sometimes those days are tough, too.
How do you, like, calm all of that? I mean, obviously, you're chaotic, but you're so, like, you have a time to recoup that energy because I think that we're not, I mean, the world that most of us kind of come from is, like, you're either introvert, extrovert, and I believe that a good person can be an omnivert.
Yeah, I think everybody has a little bit of both in them. I mean, there are true introverts, there are true extroverts, but it just depends what circle surrounds you. Whoever your friends are, whoever your family is, if you're in a certain tight-knit group where everybody in that group is an introvert, that introverted circle turns into, you know, an outrovert type of thing. Not specifically, but yeah.
I mean, when it comes to, I think that there is we have to embrace both if we want to be healthy.
Yeah.
I mean, we can be a little bit more one than the other because, like, I usually flourish around people and, like, chaos is so much fun. I love it because I've lived in it my whole life.
Yeah.
So going to events, one thing is I don't like parties. I don't like parties unless I have my camera around me.
Yeah.
But if I go to an event.
So do you hate party hats?
Party hats?
Yeah. I like the little cones on the top of the head.
They give me anxiety. They give me anxiety.
Party hats give you anxiety.
Yes, they give me anxiety.
Caleb, I'm gonna be honest here. You're the first person to ever tell me that party hats give you anxiety.
They do.
Yeah.
Because, like, I mean, between those and the party balloons that have all that shrivelness and they get, like, they lose their helium.
Oh, yeah.
No.
I suckle all that helium.
That's a headache waiting to happen.
Yeah. Did you know that if you insert enough helium into your body, you start to float?
I mean, are you talking about the getting high off of the helium?
No. Physically, you just start to kind of float up a little bit.
I don't know if that's a good experiment or not.
It's probably the only experiment that needs to be tested immediately.
I am concerned, but I'm also, curiosity sparks me, and I say that we find someone that's willing to do this.
I'll do it.
I'm concerned. As long as you can come back, where would
depends,
you...
It depends how much helium I have. Yeah.
Oh, dear. Yeah, no, party hats.
Did you, oh, one more thing about helium. Did you actually know that helium naturally tastes good?
Naturally?
Yeah, naturally. It tastes good. That's why they call it helium.
Oh, God, not the dad joke. Giant. I hate that I got that, but no, I mean, it is pretty, you know.
Tasty. Yeah, go ahead. Sorry. Yeah, go ahead.
It's pretty tasty. I mean, I don't, I used to, you know, we had a helium tank in my, was it friend's attic, and we'd take turns doing that.
That's so fun. It's great.
It's concerning because I was very young, and I think that's also why I also hate balloons.
That could be it.
I don't know where.
You saw a friend turn into a balloon, didn't you?
No, I was honestly scared. No, you're not wrong. I was afraid of a balloon because there's just something that happens when you're young and you put a face on a balloon.
Mm-hmm.
It starts to lose that helium.
Yeah.
And it starts floating midair.
Oh, yeah.
And we were so scared that we hid in the closet from it.
No way.
Because we thought it had started to have a mind of its own because it wasn't floating high.
Yeah,
but
it was coming after you.
It was truly following us. And I don't know if it was a static. I don't know. Maybe it was haunted.
Maybe it would have been haunted.
But the thing was, we gave it a nice smiley face. I don't know what's worse, the fact that it was coming for us with a smiley face or
like a slightly deflated smiley face.
Yeah, it was concerning.
That balloon had some intentions.
Yeah, and sometimes we run into people like that.
Yeah.
It can be concerning. How do you interact with people that, you know, whenever you have this energy that you bring into a room and like those that come up to you that might say that you're weird or that you're, that may not be completely on board?
Great segue. That's a good question. I think anytime I go into a room of people that I don't know, I tend to be a little reserved at first. If I'm in a group, I'm not ashamed of who I am or what I do or anything like that, anymore. I used to be a little bit, but that's gone. That just comes with age, I think, but, age and experience. But like, if I'm ever like in a room, like of people in a circle of people that I don't know, I will immediately either engage in the conversation or I will just wait. I'll have a joke in my head and it's there. And I picked up on something and I'm just waiting for the perfect opportunity to drop it. And eight times out of 10, I'll get a good chuckle out of it. If I get that chuckle, we're flying high.
You made it.
We got helium in my bones. Yeah. Yeah. That's kind of it though.
Do you like helium for some reason or like, do you carry helium with you?
No. Couldn't care for helium actually.
Oh, so you're anti-helium.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. But yeah, like, I mean, going back, I mean, using that as a segue to back to party hats.
Yeah.
I think that when one puts on a party hat and you're the only one in the room with a party hat, that's anxiety.
Yeah. Party hat. What's the point?
But no, the way I look at it is it's like surprise parties I don't like.
Really?
I don't know.
You still like people?
No. Well, that already scared me enough. I
saw you flinch a little bit. Got nervous.
When it comes to a party hat, I think that there's like an intentionality to wearing a party hat. Like you're not going to go to World State Fair and be the only one wearing a party hat.
That's not sure.
It's kind of like, you know, going to
So when's the last time that you went into a room and you felt like you stood out? What were you wearing? What were you doing? Why did you feel that way?
I would like to say, when was this? This was the Obama rally.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And I mean, I definitely blended in, but like I was wearing blue.
Sure.
And yes, I may have blended in, but there was a lot of blue and red and red and blue. And I mean, even that. Another thing is like we may physically not stand out, but maybe mentality.
Yeah.
We may mentally stand out. And I've often, excuse me, I had a few conversations with so many new people and less physically standing out. And it's more about mentally standing out and realizing that when we have these conversations, it's kind of knowing your audience.
Yeah.
Because what I'm learning as I get older and as I get to be more of a professional, it's about who you're around and who your inner circle is, because those that you are associated with, you're going to adapt part of their personalities to you. And I find that, you know, the idea of the party hat, I mean, the reason I don't like the party hat is because it feels like we have to celebrate all the time.
Correct.
And I don't disagree that there's a good time to celebrate, but I mean, the party hat insinuates that everyone else is going to also have party hats, and then there's like an, it slowly starts to build. I like that in small doses.
Interesting.
I don't like it all the time. So like the idea of college and parties.
Yeah.
I went to one party my freshman year, hated it. Mm-hmm. Absolutely hated it.
It's not for everybody. It really isn't.
It wasn't my thing. And I mean, I think that that's another thing, like where I was like less about the party and more about documenting it.
Yeah.
And I was like, I want to be on the outside looking in.
And that's cool. Yeah. Yeah. That's a really cool thing. Man, I love all aspects of it. You know, this is kind of where I look at myself as a versatile man. You know, I love being in the party. I love being the life of the party. I love creating the party. I love documenting the party. I love creating the party hats. I love distributing the party hats. I'll be a party hat. I'll sit on somebody's head for a little bit. You know, put some straps to like each of my thighs and wrap it around their chin. You know,
that's Halloween costume waiting to happen.
It is. It is. And I'm really waiting for somebody to finally pick up on it, because I've been pitching this for 7 years and not a single person has done it.
Yo, like colored party hat.
Yeah.
And it's like a whole party and then someone's a pinata.
Yeah.
I think that's an ingenious.
Yeah. If I was a party hat and just somebody would beat the shit out of me with a stick on somebody's head, that's all literally all I want.
That's an interesting quote right there. You heard it here. If you want to do that. Not specifically to Kyle, but...
No, specifically to me, yeah.
Okay, if you specifically want to do that to Kyle, I guess meet him in, like, Market Square at, like, noon?
Yeah, high noon.
High noon. Yeah, on a day of your preference, I guess.
Yes, you let me know. I'll be there, sitting on somebody's head, strapped up, ready to get the shit kicked out of me. Has this interview gone as you imagined? What did you think whenever you asked me to do this? I'm curious.
I was completely out of pocket. I was like, you know what? This sounds like fun, and he's chaotic, and I need a little chaos in my life. And I mean, the last one was with a photojournalist, and that was scary serious. And like, holy crap. I mean, not to say that I didn't enjoy it. It was very good.
No. Those conversations are incredible. I'm not that conversation. I will go there. I have those conversations. I just, I like being light. I like, you know, it goes back to me going into a room of empty people. I like being that person where I walk in and just everybody's lifted. Like, nobody tenses up. They're like, oh, man. I just walk in like, hey, what's going on? And then everybody's like, I like just seeing people be their true, authentic selves immediately.
So you mentioned tension, and you don't want others to be tense.
No. Well, yeah, but no.
I mean, people are going to be tense regardless.
Yeah.
And so have you been tense, and how do you deal with
The only time I've been tense is when I've been in one, and that's in tense. There's another bada bing, bada boom. To answer your coulda question.
That was...
What was your question again? I had that in my head that I was ready to say it. That's like one of those things when I'm in the circle. I don't listen to the conversation. I only listen for my cue to insert the joke. What was the question again?
It was whenever you're in those situations, when you feel tense, how do you cope with that?
I don't know. It's rare. It's very rare. Honestly, I don't know. I don't think I get that tense in too many situations.
Was it self-taught?
I don't know. I think it's just been me kind of my whole life. Not saying that I've never been tense before in a situation. I think whenever a tense situation happens, I mentally lock into that situation and I turn into, what do I need to do? How can I help? And what can I just do to get out of this tense situation?
So fight or flight.
Yeah, I actually really do have a good fight or flight system in me. I genuinely do. And I've had moments where I've seen it and realized that it was a good fight or flight hit.
What's one of those moments?
It's a good question. As soon as I said that out of my mouth, all of them have disappeared. I know that that there's been some really good moments.
What about during your graduate work?
I don't know, man.
What's a time in which that you experienced fear where it was completely justified, but how did you overcome that fear?
Ah, man.
It can be big.
Yeah, I don't know. If I'm ever uncomfortable with like a physical thing, I force myself to do that physical thing. Just do it. Number one, to get the experience of it. Number two, to overcome that you can't do this thing. Just to do it. Yeah, I don't know. I wish I had better examples for you. I'm actually kind of the worst with coming up with any example. I just live my life so in the moment now that I don't really hold on to tiny moments, big moments. Sure, there's like defining moments that like I'll have click in my brain. But I'm just, I don't know. I just go with the flow and I just live in the moment. I like to every day. So I always never have examples.
So
I'm terrible with that stuff.
Oh, no, that's completely fair. Usually the worst, too, to where the last episode where I was put on spot, and I'm not the greatest on spot. I'm good just ad-libbing, but being an actor, actor, yeah. You know, theater, you know, it's three syllables. But being an actor, you know, you can kind of, like, ad-lib and have fun, but when it's, like, serious, it's like, oh, no, you know, everything, the music starts to sit and... you know, the black bars come up.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
But, like, the way I look at it is, oh, my gosh, my brain just went completely everywhere. When it comes to those uncomfortable situations and getting there, I find especially it's like deadlines.
Yeah.
Deadlines are scary.
Yeah.
And establishing a deadline that you can meet mm-hmm. is an entirely different level. And I feel like all of us creatives, we work well under stress.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's like these deadlines. How do you manage deadlines? And I mean, I'm sure they're fear driven. You know, the idea of being able to produce something at a certain time, you know, time constraints.
I don't know if it's fear driven for me. I think I don't know. I genuinely really do believe in my skills, talents, and abilities to get the thing done. So whenever I set a deadline for myself or a goal for myself, it's just how can I accomplish it? What do I need to do? Whatever I need to do to make it happen, let's do it. It's never fear driven. I'm never like if I set a day, like we'll just say like May 15th to do 17 backflips on a trampoline in a row in the air at the same time.
A goal right now.
Correct. Yeah, now it's a thing.
I'm going to hold you to that.
No, it doesn't make me nervous. How the hell am I going to do 17 backflips on a trampoline? I don't know, man. I'll figure it out.
You need to send me a video of this because...
You'll get it. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I just got to suckle on some helium first and turn into a balloon, and that'll be it.
Oh, I can't wait to see this video. This is what, 2 weeks...
That's called a circle. I love circles.
I do too. Circles are great.
Too.
Oh, I'm so concerned.
It's like the one. Yeah. What else? Let's go. I'm ready. I'm locked in.
So when it comes to being in that media field and when you were going with your graduate work, I'm gonna try to get something out of you. What is
good
one of the
luck.
Things I will
good luck.
I will manage.
It's tough.
So during your graduate work,
yeah.
And you did a lot of video work for Point Park, correct?
Yeah.
So when you were given your like first assignment,
mm-hmm.
what went through your head? But from undergrad to then your graduate work.
Are you talking about, so like I get into grad school, what's my first like classroom project assignment?
Or like bigger project, you know, the idea of this, you're no longer an undergrad, you're now a grad student.
Oh, okay.
So there are those standards that come with that.
Sure. I did a Wood Street project for an extra credit class assignment. And it was a gala for women who worked in IT, and I was creating a video that was like a minute and a half long of just kind of women coming in and just kind of like they were just interviewed some questions and I just had to cut it into like a viable story, and I just get all the footage, I get the outlines, and I trust my brain in the editing process, and I put things together. If I don't like it, I'll switch some things around. And then I'll send it, and then they'll be like, hey, I love this. Or they'll be like, hey, you misspelled something real quick. And I'll be like, oh, sorry, I'm a terrible speller. And then, you know, I'll send the footage back, They'll give me some more notes, send it back. They'll give me some more notes till we just get the right cut. That's about it.
So you weren't ever, like, from your undergrad work into your grad work, as you started to move farther away from your undergrad work, what did you notice in your skill set? Like,
well,
do you think that being a grad student does help?
Yes. Number one, yes. But genuinely, I do believe that. But it's tricky because my undergrad work was not video at all. Remember, I graduated with a sports arts and entertainment management, which is live event management in a nutshell. It's not that, but it's way more than that. But that's the part that I fell into. But I never did anything, like, I did video stuff on my own, like, with an iPad and, like, iMovie and stuff like that.
Oh,
like,
God.
Stupid
stuff. iMovie.
No, I loved iMovie. I was an iMovie maniac. I used to make just videos all the time in school. But my big project between undergrad and graduate was a COVID baby. It was a COVID project. I was in a house with 7 other dudes. And they all graduated in the film program and all different parts of it. And I had this idea to create a late night show, my own personal one. I just really got into late night comedy. It had everything that I loved doing. I was like, why not? Let's just do it. So I, took a couple like master classes, read a couple books and said, fuck it. Let's just do it. Let's dive right in. So we created an outline, threw in some jokes. God, it's a terrible season. It's so awful watching now.
Go check it out.
Man, please don't. It's not on YouTube because I have it on private.
You should put it on.
No.
Oh, you should put it on just for a day.
Oh,
May 15th, you should do it the same day.
Yeah, May 15th,
yeah. And then just leave it up that day. So God. If they go and find it and this comes out.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, man.
That would be such a crazy thing because then they'd be able to see it and then, like, it's, like, special, yeah, limited. Yeah.
But no, that's kind of what got me back into thinking about doing media stuff in grad school is because I did that late night show. I freaking loved all of it, the producing of it, creating, editing sketches, shooting sketches, writing monologue jokes, interviewing, all that stuff. I did literally everything that goes into a late night show into that with a shitty format. It was great. We all had a great time, though. It was super fun. We took it very seriously. We did it for about 7 episodes or so, and... you know, we did the run, and then it ended, and I tried doing everything by myself. I needed the help. I did not know how to do it by myself. I did. I tried about 4 episodes, and it just became too much. I had too high of goals at the time. And then after that, yeah, I got into grad school, and that's whenever I started kind of, like, looking at the projects and classes as just dumb comedy things, which is where the duck video came from. That's why I took a news thing into a duck takeover, because that's freaking hilarious to me. That's what I want to create. Not let's talk about closures in downtown because of Market Square shutting down for the summer. I don't give a flock about that.
Yeah, I'm with you on that, to where, like, for one of the assignments, I think I showed you the video, or at least I showed it in the class, that was the intro to, like, video storytelling, which, honestly, I'll personally say out there, wasn't my favorite class, because I felt like I was boxed in so much. So, I mean, I get it, it was an intro, but, like,
yeah.
I was...
That's the one that I grad assisted in, right?
Yes, that was the one we were in it. But
I think that's another... Sorry, I don't mean to cut you off real quick, but my point on that,
I know.
Once you get me going, I'll stop. But one thing about that class is, especially feeling in that box, you're just, like, too young at the time to realize that you can go outside of the parameters. As long as you're finding that criteria, you're fine.
Yeah, that's where I succeeded, I'd like to say that. Because I think my final project was the stuff on April Fridges.
Exactly, yeah.
Because, like,
once you found what you wanted to do, you just looked at the guidelines and followed
and
it.
And I justified it to
that's
a
it.
Point.
Yep.
And I still got a 90, like, 8.
Exactly. Exactly.
I got a 98. Yeah. I think that was a 100 level, but, like, I don't know where the 2 points fell off.
It's aspects. That's cool.
Yeah, I know. I could have used a gimbal.
It's exactly. Yeah.
But I think I did pretty good for what I did. But what I was talking about is your comedy on, like, that ducks is where I remember I was just that entire semester. I was just overwhelmed with so much. So I didn't turn in, like, 2 things. And I was like, I need to get this shit done. I'm going to go ask my friend. We actually started filming for the it's like you have to do, like, a the one. It's a not an advertisement, but like a warning, like don't drink and drive, or
oh, the PSA. Mm-hmm.
You have to do a PSA, and I was going to do don't drive and text.
Yeah,
and I ended up doing that.
Yeah,
but I was getting so many. Whew, Jesus, I talk with my hands. I gotta get more room.
Smack the mic.
Yeah, you'll hear it in other episodes as well. But I went and asked my friend, hey, I need you for someone. I need you to fill in and just sit here, look cool or something.
Yeah,
did that. But I needed someone like. Step, you know, falling, because the point of the PSA was, you know, you're texting and you're falling. So if you're going to text and walk, don't text and drive, because so much worse can happen.
Yeah.
But then I ended up having her fall down steps.
Yeah.
And then I had an idea. I had so many clips of her falling down steps. She fell down the steps 29 times.
Oh my God.
No.
Why'd she do that?
She's a masochist. I would say she's certainly a masochist. Yeah. I mean, let's be real. If you're willingly able to throw yourself down steps 20 or more times.
I've done that in a couple videos. Not 20 or more times, but...
I mean, you shouldn't be keeping count, to be honest, but fair enough.
Correct.
But no, I had so many clips of her falling down these steps, and PPG Place, don't get mad at me. I swear they probably would get mad at me if they realized that they fell down the steps where the dinosaurs are.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember that video. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But basically, I made an entire video about, and it was a montage essentially, to where I found music that was like, and it was like, oh my gosh, this is trailer music. So I threw some trailer music, some clips of essentially, it's like this anticipation of her falling down these steps,
yeah,
and getting severely hurt. But it's clip after clip after clip after clip, and then it's like this massive like title entrance where it's like falling,
yeah,
coming to theaters near you. And I was like, this is awesome. She ended up paying me for that.
Really?
And
no way.
Everyone at work kept asking her why she has so many scrapes. So she was actually able to show all of her coworkers. And stuff like that, like my friend, she's like, that was memorable.
Yeah.
Stuff like that. I mean, not to say that I was willing to have her get hurt, because there were no pages harmed in the making of that video.
Mm-hmm.
PSA. But no, it was a really fun experience, because like just the next time I worked with her, she played dead in a forest.
Love
so it. I mean, I think that there should be some fun in it, because I mean, yes, you can take it seriously, but I mean, we're creatives.
Yeah,
like when you go out of the box when it comes to school or anything that you're making, when you realize, holy crap, I can go out of these parameters, and as long as they apply,
yeah
I can do whatever I need to where, like, now I'm working on I have to finish some last few assignments for my video, experimental video, where I'm like, well, I don't need to do this highly artsy stuff for my final. I just want to do a storytelling of the experience that I did at my internship, Covalent, and kind of how they work through things, and just have some B-roll and some music. And I actually worked with a musician.
Yeah.
And went back and forth over music. And it's like a really cool music, and we kind of worked back and forth over an overture, in a way, of this whole interview process.
And that's cool.
It was really cool, and he's a good friend of mine, but he is so good, and he's had some music play in the symphony here at Pittsburgh.
I know.
So he's very talented. He's more, it's more old-like. It's more old and very harmonic, but I think it works for the video that I did. And the thing is like, I was able to stand on it, and like in my class, it's like, he's like, well, is this what you want? It's like, yeah. And it's like, well, do you have a plan B? I said, no, this is what I'm doing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, this is going to meet all the criteria, you know, have a montage, and it doesn't have to be highly artistic. And
I think
that especially doing a BFA, you feel like you have to be artistic.
Yuck.
Where there, I mean, I feel that there would be some benefit to at least my BFA program, to where there could be, you know, 4 years. I'm graduating tomorrow. So
yeah,
this would be 2 weeks later for now, to where on the 14th, don't forget, 14th, there should be a video out of him doing...
May 15th.
Oh, yes. May 15th.
Mm-hmm.
Of doing that backflips and maybe...
17 little, times.
Yeah, 17 times. I didn't even realize. I thought it was 7.
No, but yeah, 17.
Don't forget that. But yeah, it's strange, because 4 years, and I would say that my degree has taught me a lot. But, like, I think once I hit sophomore year,
yeah,
it was, like, the slope formula was, like, 1, and then it just went to like 4.
Yeah.
And it like, or what is it? It's like tangent. Like if you do math.
No.
Oh, well, it's like it's like a curve. Like tangent.
I do cursive, so I get curves.
Oh,
yeah.
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 That's English. Okay.
I don't do cursive either, actually.
Oh, I only sign my name and I barely get good at handwriting. For the longest time, I didn't know how to sign my name, so yeah. I just put Spider-Man.
The only time, I love that, first off. The only time I ever write cursive is whenever I, like, write long euphoric poems about water, and that's about it.
Specifically water?
Yeah.
How many have you written?
I don't know. Quite a bit. I got, like, a journal. I actually have 2 journals now. One of them's completely full, and the other one is about half full.
Of water, just water.
Yeah, just water, just water.
Have you considered publishing such work?
No.
Why?
Why do I do it, or why have I not considered publishing such work?
Answer both, I guess.
Okay. Which one do you want first? So we can talk about this forever.
So no, like you're studying water, and this fascination of water is very interesting. Just
sure.
Alone.
Yeah.
What about it is so fascinating that you have 2 journals full of writing about it?
I don't know. It's like I'm, like I said before, I'm typically like a person that goes with the flow of things. And I think that's where kind of the flow of water going down like a creek, it could be a river, it could be the ocean, it could be the depths of the water. Think about how many different variations of water there are. You could bottle it in a water like this. If you are listening to this, I'm holding up a bottle of Coca-Cola Zero Sugar Zero Hour. Hold on, not sponsored.
Not sponsored.
But you could just have a bottle of water in here. You could go to the ocean, Mariana's Trench. That's umpteen billion miles long. That's a real fact. Look it up. Umpteen billion.
Yep.
Like and just concurrents that happen underneath the surface of the water. You know, crashing waves, tidal waves, tsunamis. Water is insane. There's like full water planets out there too.
And when did this fascination come apparent?
Well, it hasn't had a child yet, so it's not apparent yet.
I set you up for that.
It's a slam dunk.
Oh, that was
and
awesome.
I grabbed the basketball.
That
so
was
fast.
Great. You know, that's how we learned in science class. You know, it's like the difference between transparent and translucent is you always want to see your parents' thoughts. Transparent.
That's fair.
It was really useful.
Yeah. I don't do science either. I only do cursive and writing long euphoric poems about water.
Yeah, no, back to the water.
Okay.
So, hydrate. Always hydrate.
Yeah.
But
what are we talking about?
Water. What are you doing?
Ooh, you missed. Ah, you got it. Let's go.
Yes.
There we go.
Yes,
right.
I did.
Say. All right.
So, the thing is water is such a unique thing. And
yeah.
It's such a universal thing that we all need
and
require.
Yeah.
But when it comes to that flow, how do you dictate your flow?
My flow?
As
throw in a beat and I'll show you.
I didn't know you were a rapper.
Oh, Caleb, you don't know anything about me if you didn't know I was a rapper.
Oh, SoundCloud?
No. YouTube, my car, and at night with my friend Jack.
Why don't you throw all 3 in one and make it a video?
We've done that before. I have a couple rap videos out there.
Oh my gosh, the Pittsburgh rap video.
I got a Pittsburgh rap video. Open Cup, the Pittsburgh Riverhounds. I'm an on-field MC over there for the Pittsburgh Riverhounds.
Oh my.
We have an Open Cup game happening next Wednesday. By the time this comes out, that'll be last Wednesday, I think. Something like that. We are actually, whenever we call, we're playing New York City. The MLS team for New York City. We're playing them in the Open Cup tournament, right?
Oh, that'll be great.
It's sick. I cannot wait for it.
When is that?
May 7th, I believe.
Fuck, I don't know if I'm going to be here.
It's all right. But whenever the New York City team comes out, we're going to be playing my Empire State of Mind Pittsburgh version.
Oh.
They said it as, I thought it was a joke, and they were dead serious. So, yeah, we're playing my Pittsburgh State of Mind music video to the MLS team for New York City walking up to Highmark Stadium here in
such
Pittsburgh.
An under
I have yeah. made it.
you have made it. You are now a representation of Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
I mean, you're not the Spins.
Yeah, no, of course not.
But
let's see. I got
pretty good.
I got We're Real Men. I got Back on the Tractor. I got
tell me you're in like skinny jeans or like some overalls on the Back on the Tractor video.
Yeah, there's a lot of flannels.
Okay.
Yeah, a lot of flannels.
Good.
I fall in love with dirt. It's a whole thing.
Interesting.
Yeah, what else do I got out there? I got a couple ones.
So you like dirt, you like water. I'm just waiting for like the third fire. You know, are you a pyromaniac?
Can't stand fire.
Really? So you hate water, but you love water, love dirt, hate fire.
Yeah.
That's an interesting dynamic.
Yeah. I have no poems about fire.
I mean, you have the opposite, like against fire. I'd be interested to.
Yeah.
Do you have any like philosophy behind that? Why you don't like fire?
No, I tried to start to come up with it, and then once it was getting a little iffy, it started making its own like self-conscious decisions. So I fired it. I'll keep going. I got them all day, man.
You really know how to burn the house down.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. See, you're getting it.
Yeah, yeah. No, the dad jokes are really coming to you, you know.
I
just really don't want to extinguish them. Yep.
See?
Yeah.
See?
I mean, hey.
That's how I roll. That's how I riff. That's how I rap.
Wow. I mean, we had this one kid in middle. I mean, we're going all around. For anyone that doesn't have ADHD, we're sorry. Not really, but.
You know what's funny? I probably have like a mild form of ADHD.
You're not diagnosed?
No. I choose to do this.
You choose to do.
I choose just to jump around.
Oh, it's a willing commitment.
Yeah.
It makes things so.
Yeah.
Do you ever have that issue where you know you're like you'll be talking and you'll be talking to someone and it's like you didn't say a part of the sentence but you thought you did? And then you start going over an entirely different subject as if you had the conversation with that person.
No. Sorry.
Yeah.
I know what you're saying, but no.
Okay. Maybe you're not entirely as ADHD.
Yeah. No, I definitely think I have like a mild form of it. But no, it's because I can hold on to 7 different conversations in my head. And
oh, yeah.
Back to them wherever I need to.
I do. I still want to go back to water.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Whatever you want to talk about.
When it comes to water,
yeah,
dictating that flow and that flow of others.
Flow of water or flow of rap? Let's just figure that out real quick before I start spitting.
Oh God, the flow of water.
All right.
So, how do you dictate your flow? How you go, and how others go? And that was not intending to be a rhyme, but it.
Well, because it was a rhyme, it was true. That's a fact. So you're asking me. I was trying to get this right. How my flow is compared to other people's flow.
Yes. Not rap.
Just okay, good.
Because
I was about to rap again. I was. Yeah.
We will have time for that. Don't worry.
Yeah. Yeah.
But how does your flow, how do you.
Lettuce, I got a romaine fetish.
I'm concerned.
That got weird.
That got really, I mean, I like croutons.
Yeah.
Croutons,
I got a crouton. I'm catching Pokemon.
That's not bad.
I'm going Ramadan.
Oh.
I'm going. Like a soccer mom.
You're
like, I got a minivan. I'm eating Cinnabon, the light, drinking Sprite all night.
Wow.
Fly a kite.
Oh, we're Benjamin Franklin.
Rhyme it?
No. I don't got bars.
I'll bring it back to the birthday one. I'm Benjamin Franklin. Happy birthday, spankin'.
Okie dokie. Well, I mean, hey, we have a good time on our birthdays.
Yeah, yeah. So back to the flow of the. What do you mean by that? Because I don't think I'm understanding.
So like,
I don't think I'm understanding what you're trying to ask.
So the idea of just kind of taking it as you go.
Yeah,
and
life and just situations.
Yeah. How do you deal with that? Like, was it just something inherent?
Yeah, I don't know. It just kind of happens, and I don't really question it. How do I deal with going with the flow? I don't. I guess. I don't know. I don't know. It just happens. I guess that's just been me. You know, in high school, you know, I did so many things. I played 3 different sports. I did musical theater. I did choir. I was on student council. I did afternoon and morning announcements. You know, what else? What else did I do? I don't know. I did so much in high school that it was just that tight-knitness, if you will, of going with the flow translated into college. Even before that, you know, my mom and dad are split. They're divorced. They've been ever since I was in kindergarten. So it was pretty if for lack of better terms, for me personally, it was normal for me just because I was five when it happened, right?
So you got used to it.
Yeah, I was just, that's just what life was for me. So my dad moved to Florida because that's where some of his family is. My mom stayed in Pennsylvania. So first, third, and fifth grade, I went to school in Pennsylvania. Second, fourth, and sixth grade, I went to school in Florida. So same schools, but it was flip-flopping back and forth every year. And I think that's also kind of where just going with the flow kind of came from. And I don't know if that's because, again, I was in kindergarten, first grade, whenever that really started, so it was normal to me. I didn't know anything else or how it was supposed to be. So I never really sheltered or shut down. It was like, oh, let's go. I'm here. But I've just always been like that.
So you've embraced change.
I do embrace change. That's what life is. Life is change.
Taking it back to water.
Yeah.
It is pretty much a sink or swim. And sometimes
I know so much about water. Notebook and a half. I'm telling you.
Can you swim?
Can
you swim?
Oh, really well. Yeah.
You do look like someone that could swim.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I swam across the Monongahela.
What?
Yeah.
Like full on across.
Full on, yeah, yeah. In my undergrad, whenever I was dumb, but I did it.
What?
It was that night.
I feel like that should be a quote, like, I was dumb, but I did it.
Yeah, I was dumb, but I did it. Yeah, that's like one of those, like, old farm bathroom signs that you see whenever you, like, go, like, use, like, your uncle's bathroom. He has, like, seven cows. And I was like, I'm dumb, but I did it. And you're like, no, I do like that.
I don't, I hope someone wash your hands, has an uncle.
The burgers.
I hope someone has an uncle that has seven cows.
Probably.
Seven cows is very specific.
I grew up with seven cows. Not seven, but I had cows.
You had your own cows?
Yeah. Well, they weren't my own cows, but I had cows. They're my grandpa's.
So you had
a farm.
So do you have siblings?
Yeah. I got one blood sister. She is turning 30 this year. And then I have two stepsisters, and I could not tell you how old they are.
So, like, obviously, that divorce changed, because is that with the divorce of your parents with the siblings?
Mm-hmm.
Did you ever make an effort to connect with those, or was it kind of...
My stepsisters? Yeah, we grew up together. We never really got along. One of them, her and I got along decently. The other one, we just hated each other as kids. I couldn't tell you why. We didn't connect, ever. And now us as adults, we went to Gatlinburg and stayed at like one of those cabins and stuff like that. My dad put it together. It was nice. But like, yeah, even then, like me and my stepsisters, like we were staying in the same cabin and, I'm not afraid to talk to people. I'm not afraid to try to reach out and talk. I tried doing that with, one of them and just kind of shut it down immediately. And I was like, all right, I guess that's how we're going to be. The other one opened up a little bit more, which was nice. That was a good change of pace. But, you know, they both live in Florida. They're both parents. They both have their own lives going through very different things. We're just like, we're so far apart. It's not that I'm not interested to connect with them. It's just like, I don't want to say it's not necessary because that's not it either. It's just, it'll take a lot of work and, yeah, like, if it happens, it happens over time. If it doesn't, that's life, man. That's life.
I mean, I like to say that there should be... I mean, I think that talking on that, it's the relationships that we are willing to foster.
Yeah.
And the ones that we aren't.
Yeah.
And it's not a bad...
No, it isn't. It's, it's just kind of picking what you eat for dinner, you know?
Damn, I'm hungry.
Yeah, yeah.
But, I mean, it is. It's about these connections that we make, even to... I mean, I guess you could call them... part of your family.
Mm-hmm.
But like when it comes to people.
No, like they're still my family. You know, it's just like, we just live very different lives.
And that's okay.
That's okay.
And I think that's right. Something that I feel in college, especially, that's a lot of things that kids, I mean, we are kids when we enter college most of the time, don't realize that we can dictate, you know, even these relationships with family.
Yeah.
We can choose
to
be around them.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I mean, they can help us.
Sure.
But I feel like there's not enough an emphasis of saying it's okay to make boundaries with family.
Yeah.
Or to make boundaries with...
Mm-hmm. There's people in my family I could care less to see ever again. And that's okay.
That's perfectly okay. And I think others... There's not enough reassurance in, like, the professional world where it's like, oh, you know, I don't, you know, going home and, you know, you're just Kyle to other people.
Yeah.
Versus... out in the real world, you're out there doing something, you know.
I'm definitely like a growing personality in the city. you know, like, it's very small, but, like, sometimes I'll get recognized for, like, a River Hounds or a Thunderbird suit thing. And that's cool to me, but, like, whenever I go home back to Townville, then it's like, I'm just kind of just doing my thing.
Yeah, it's such a weird dynamic to, you know, being somebody out. And, like, for me, it's like, oh, I'm nationally published. Yay.
Yeah.
Other people are like, holy crap. And then, even though I've been doing all these things, and it's this idea of trying to...
It's milestones. People don't see the everything. It's all,
yeah,
it's just
and
milestones.
It's, yeah. And the way I look at it is, like, family, like, we take you take photos, I take photos, and they have seen all the bad photos sometimes.
Oh, yeah.
But then everyone else hasn't.
Yeah.
And I feel like there's an element to that, to where it's, like, family and boundaries... And the idea of we can love from a distance. And I think that there is a healthiness to love at a distance.
Okay. No, I agree. Yeah, there is.
And we can't necessarily prepare for those dynamics. And it's going to be uncomfortable. Because I think when you first jump into college, it's like, mom, dad, I'm doing this, 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 this. And it goes from talking all the time to like, it was months.
Yeah.
Months or even it's been years since I've talked to my mother, but I mean, that's a different story.
Yeah.
But like, I feel like when you put those boundaries in place and you stick to them,
yeah,
it's like, don't you have
to. Sometimes you got to take care of yourself.
Well, yeah.
Sometimes you have to be selfish.
Well, no, it's not selfishness. And I disagree with that. I think that the world says it's selfish is truly just taking care of yourself.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I think that the world and society has put a bad taste on the word selfish.
Oh, definitely.
That's what I'm saying.
I think that there is...
That's why I'm saying it's okay to be selfish. I'm selfish. Everybody's selfish.
I mean, it's part of the human condition.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
But it's like a healthy balance of caring enough about you, your mental health, but it's also, you know, when... What occurred to me, I am adulting. And I'm 22, and I'm just now realized that I can dictate my relationships.
Mm-hmm.
I can have people in my life,
mm-hmm.
but I don't have to put as much effort, like how you're saying, mm-hmm. with your step siblings that you may not get along with. It's not ill will.
No.
But it's I love
never
you enough.
Malicious intent.
It's I love you enough to keep you at a distance. I can love you from afar, and I can celebrate your accomplishments.
Yeah.
But I don't feel the need that there's going to be a relationship here that we can foster together.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like a fire.
Yeah.
Yes, you know, I mean,
I hate fire,
but it's about fostering you know.
Good save.
That was good. I almost spilled something, but I didn't because I drank all of it. That's the winning thing there.
That is the winning motive.
When it comes to are you you got
for about like 15.
15 more minutes.
I got to get out of here at 4:30.
All righty.
I got to hit a Wheeling.
Oh, that's going to be fun.
Yeah, I'm pumped.
But when
that's
it comes
going on,
when it comes to like those siblings and those dynamics, it is loving from afar, and it's okay to justify that. I think that is a huge, important decision to be making, especially at, like, I'm 22, and I can choose if I can be around that person. But it's, like, the way I look at it is it's kind of like divorce in a way, to where it's, like, being civil and being understanding of one another. And sometimes I think that divorce isn't something that comes into our mind without marriage, but I think that divorcing relationships, because we have to be healthy,
that's fair,
and it's hey, I see this, I recognize this, if you we can't change others, but we can change ourselves.
I like to think of it as like paper mache, you know.
How so?
It's like, how many pieces of like wet gluey paper do you need to make your sculpture work?
Because it just keeps going on, and you can just keep But yeah, too much of it can literally
collapse it.
But you also have to let it sit.
Yeah.
And then you can add more on.
You know why I also like paper mache's?
Why?
It's a lot of water involved.
There is a lot of water to where it becomes.
I've read about paper mache's in my euphoric water poems.
Do you have one to share?
I don't, no. I don't really like to share those. It's kind of like a little like tidbit thing I do on the side.
I'd love to hear one if you ever get the chance.
Yeah. No, I don't think I'd share those live, but
No, when it comes to paper mache, that's a really good point, because too much water can literally collapse the whole thing,
mm-hmm.
but it holds it together
after
it dries.
Correct.
To where there's that equal, like, you know, people can be that paper mache.
Yeah.
But then we have to be willing to make the choice of how much water we need to use.
Yeah.
Because if we use too much,
And if there is too much, you have to paper mache it.
You were you were preparing for that one.
I wasn't. No, that one just kind of popped in my
head. Oh, okay. I was like, oh my gosh, he set this up and let it go.
Yeah.
So one of the only last few questions is, so you're full of energy.
I would say so.
Where do you get it?
Costco. Aisle 16.
What? I don't know Costco that well.
Go to Costco.
What's aisle 16?
It's where I get my energy.
Is it energy drinks? Is it coffee?
No.
Is it toilet paper?
No. Mm-mm.
Are you going to share?
I mean, it's not like what's in the aisle. I just kind of like strolling down the aisle. Once I do that, I'm like,
energy. So wait, it's specifically aisle 16.
Yeah.
What does it change?
No.
Is it?
No. I mean, not that I really know. I don't really pay attention to the stuff on the walls.
Is it specific? Just aisle 16?
I've tried aisle 15, and I mean, like, I get a little bit of a, like, a, but it's not like that thing, you know?
Because there's a difference in that.
There is.
There is, yeah.
Yeah, if you play back both of those sounds, you will hear a vast difference.
Yes.
Yep.
When it comes to consuming a drink of your choice that has caffeine in it, mm-hmm. I'm sure that you are very much caffeinated.
Not today, no, actually. I mean, I had a macchiato this morning, but other than that, no. Just me.
So you're an anti-caffeine?
No, not anti-caffeine. No. I need to push whenever I need to push. But no, this is me. I just do my thing.
So this is you not on caffeine?
Correct.
Oh, dear. I kind of want to
see. Neon caffeine is.
I just envision the chipmunks mm-hmm. literally bouncing against the walls and all that.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's so, like, do you have a coffee that you like?
I mean, I like a white mocha, like I like a caramel macchiato.
From anywhere specific, please let it not be Starbucks.
No, I mean, dude, honestly, Starbucks is so good.
It's no, they don't.
Starbucks
we don't like Starbucks.
Why don't we like Starbucks? Why
they
can't
burn
like
their beans. It's
okay.
I
do hate fire, so I'm gonna have to let go of that.
Yeah. Wait, let go of like the beans?
No.
The fire? The burning part?
Oh, I thought we were talking about frozen. That's my bad. Yeah, the burning of the bean.
No, they're not frozen beans.
Yeah.
Wait.
Because of the water, it freezes.
I don't think they freeze the coffee beans last time I checked.
Well, they freeze them, dry freeze them, and then they put them through a space heater. And then they'll just kind of suckle out the water, and then they'll burn them. I'm kidding. I have no clue. I just made all of that up. Yeah.
Or maybe they do, and
they could.
That's their secret. Yep. That is their true secret.
Yeah.
And they don't want you to know that because we're never. I am still looking for any sponsor, any coffee places. Because
here's the real answer for where I get my energy. Caleb, I love life, and I'm high off of it. I'm high off of life. I just love it. I love people. I love things outside. I love the air. I love the trees. I love things like this. I love people being people. That's where I get my energy from. Just life.
That's a good way to end it there.
Because I have a question for you.
Oh, wow.
That's a great way to end it. And I do agree with you. I can say that all over again. I rehearsed it 15 times today.
In the mirror?
No. Just. I recorded it once, and then I watched it 15 times. But what's your favorite thing of water?
Favorite container?
What's your favorite way of water?
Way of water.
Yeah, we'll say.
It might
not be Avatar.
No.
No, it can't be.
I mean, I think blood bending is really cool. If you've seen that in Avatar.
Oh.
Oh.
I was talking about not that one, the blue people Avatar.
Oh, I was thinking Avatar.
No, Avatar.
But I mean, that's pretty cool. But outside of that, I believe that my favorite contain like the way of water.
Yeah.
Would probably be like water itself when it's flowing.
Mm-hmm.
If there's nothing under it, it
yeah.
just flows.
Yeah.
I like the current in between the rocks. Where the water...
Like a little stream.
Like, not a stream, but like the... I don't know what you'd call it. The undercurrent or something. Basically, when you put rocks together underneath water
mm-hmm.
and it starts to get even more deeper. And there's... or not just that, but specifically, I'm talking about...
Oh, you're talking about covailing.
Covahoo?
Yeah, covailing.
What?
Whenever you put... It's whenever they kind of like stream like this. like around the rocks and it has that little current going through it.
Yeah, there's, or like there's, I forget that it's like where the water itself is so powerful
yeah.
that it will pull you under.
Oh, yeah, that's what you like the most?
I kind of like that because it's like that.
How do you hate party hats but love it whenever a current sucks you under the water?
Because I think that there is a love for what, could I survive that? Could I, you know, okay. the impossibility.
I'm going to tell you can survive a party hat, Caleb.
Nope, sorry.
You can survive a party hat.
Nope.
Okay, party hat. You're the type of person that's just like, can I wrestle an alligator?
I mean, I think I could take a bear.
How big of a bear?
You know, yay high.
Yay high?
Yay high.
All right.
I mean, I think
any Kanye-sized bears out there.
I don't even know how short that man is.
He's not tall.
Yeah, I don't know necessarily him. I think I'd have a better luck with a bear than him.
That's fair.
At least.
That rhymed.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Last thing I have for you, and then, you know, feel free to close. That's perfect. I do need you to end on some spittin' bars.
Spittin' bars?
Yeah. It could be anything. I've got to hear it.
Where can the people find you before I get behind you?
All right, I'm in. You want me to follow up on that? Oh. Where can the people find you before I get behind you? I'm just trying to remind you that I'm getting confused, deja vu. That's right, I got a new shoe. And I'm going to the zoo, because I like polar bears. I got my polar bear underwear. They got zebras on it too. Did I mention I love the zoo?
He's like the zoo.
Meet me here, rendezvous.
He's got the kazoo, and he's right there with you. We'll see you guys later. Take care, guys.
Boom.